This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. From choosing the right travel card to dodging hidden fees, Smart Travel helps your money go further, literally. They cover all things travel finance, like which travel cards are actually worth the annual fee and which just look shiny, how to plan group trips that don't bust your budget or your friendships, when to book peak season trips without paying peak season prices, and more. So travel smarter and spend less with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
I want you to think about your last hotel stay. Maybe you got a free bottle of water, maybe a bag of chips, but did it really feel like loyalty? My guest today says loyalty has lost its meaning, but he's building a platform where boutique hotels, tree houses, luxury villas, and even floating homes can treat you like a VIP from day one. Imagine using points for cocktails before you even checked into your room, or being greeted by name because the property already knows your preferences. That's the future John Sutton and his team at Journey are creating. And it might just change the way you think about where to stay next.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I am your host, DeAndre Koch. Today, we have an amazing guest with a very interesting and new and what I would call revolutionary site, tool, companion in the travel space coming to market. Well, that's here to market, I should say, already. But before we introduce him, a couple quick reminders. You can catch all of these episodes in their entirety on our YouTube channel. And for those that watch this on YouTube, don't forget we have an audio-only Quick Hits, which releases every Friday. That is all of our up-to-date news in the world of travel and points and miles. And you can only find that in the audio version. So that's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else you can catch your audio podcast. Now, I am super excited today to introduce what I think is a revolutionary concept when it comes to the world of travel, a revolutionary platform, and the CEO of said platform. We're talking about Journey, and we have the CEO, John Sutton, here with us today. And if you haven't heard about Journey, we're going to get into it. We're going to talk through the amazing, I think, game-changing platform that it is. But just know it's backed by a lot of investors, founders, individuals that are supporting and advising them, one of which, Brian Kelly, you might know as the founder of The Points Guy, as well as Chris Birch, who is a co-founder of Tory Burch and others. So, John, welcome to the show.
Hey, DeAndre. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, John, just to kind of get started, for those who don't know you yet, can you share a little bit about your background and what led you to launch Journey?
Yeah, well, I mean, blessing or curse, my background has actually nothing really to do with hospitality, but I've been an entrepreneur since I was a kid, but I did spend a decade plus as the chief digital officer of a company called Red Ventures, which like most of your listeners probably wouldn't know, but Red Ventures is actually the owner and parent company of The Points Guy. They're also the owner and parent company of Lonely Planet in the travel space. But the fact is like those businesses were some of our smaller ones. We, you know, owned and operated Bankrate.com, CNET.com, Healthline.com. So major media assets. But our whole thesis at Red Ventures, which we'll kind of fast forward into, you know, some of the ideas we have for Journey, was around like, how can we help consumers make better decisions? And if you think about what those assets did, my job as chief digital officer was like, how do we go find the places where consumers are discovering, you know, and trying to learn about the next decision they're trying to make, generally higher value decisions, whether it be health or, you know, large purchases or mortgages or credit cards. And how do we use data along the way to like help them make a better choice? That was kind of the concept of RevVentures, the business. You know, when I joined, there was 50 employees. When I left, there was 5,000 employees, and, you know, built it into a $10 billion plus business. And, you know, we had a lot of luck along the way, but we had a lot of fun too. And I was lucky enough to meet Brian Kelly when we acquired Bankrate and the Points Guy, and we stayed close. I took a couple of years off in 2021. I retired, I say, and I really meant that I didn't want to do leverage buyouts of like large media assets anymore. And I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I spent 2 years playing professional beach volleyball. And then I had the idea for Journey, which we can get into that a little bit later, but kind of had the concept of Journey and talked to some of these great advisors and friends to just gut check if it was a good idea or not. And we really in earnest started the business August of 2024.
Now, John, our listenership are primarily travelers, but more specifically points and miles travelers. Can you kind of describe what Journey is to the points and miles community and just kind of in general, what is Journey?
I think the simplest way to think about it is we are becoming the official loyalty program for some of the top hospitality brands in the world, starting with, you know, independently owned hotels, boutique resorts, private rental homes. But, you know, quickly, we're also powering some, you know, great fine dining restaurants, boutiques, et cetera. And, you know, when I say official loyalty program, that the simplest analogy is like, think of it as, you know, the American Airlines or Bonvoy or Hilton Honors, except for focused on independent hospitality brands.
Well, then what gap in the hospitality and loyalty space did you see that kind of inspired this? Because you're talking about very niche, very boutique brands. Where did you see that there was an opportunity even to be in this space?
I actually saw like two major things in my own life. I think that's most founders, like something personal. You know, for me, as I had two young children, often when I was traveling, not for work, I would choose to stay in Airbnbs, for lack of a better term. And I do think they basically created the market in non-vacation rental cities to kind of have the concept of renting a private home. And it was convenient for me to have more space for the kids, more bedrooms, you know, didn't have to go to bed at 7:30 with the children. But like two problems I was running into when I first had this idea. One was curation. I felt like no matter how good I was, and I think I'm fairly sophisticated from a digital standpoint, I still had some bad experiences where like the house didn't meet the standards, despite being a super host or whatever the other badges were. And the second one was like, even though I stayed with them a lot, I felt like every time I checked into another Airbnb, it was like starting from scratch. And I think those two things were my original ahas. And then I kind of dove in deeper, which was like, okay, how, you know, if I was going to solve this, what would it look like? And I've always just been a fairly committed person to certain loyalty programs, because I felt like that was how to get the most out of those programs, was to really lean into one instead of kind of dabble across a lot. But in my hotel behavior, I actually found myself, maybe it's later in life, maybe it's because I had more disposable income, or maybe it was just because I was chasing something different. I found myself more and more often staying at boutique hotels instead of the ones that were kind of part of the Bonvoy or the Wyndham or the IHG or the Hilton programs. I think the light bulb moment was when I met with Brian Kelly, and I shared with him my original idea was just to do it for private rental homes, because it seemed like full gap in the market. It doesn't exist. Curation standards are pretty light. There is no loyalty program. So there's nothing to be loyal to, because they're all independently owned, you know, individual hosts, for lack of a better term. Even though there's some like at scale operators, the reality is like, you know, it's still pretty fragmented, especially the best inventory. And he was the one who really pushed me to say, hey, you know what? I think independent hotels, I think, you know, luxury resorts that are not part of the big flags could use a similar capability where, like, if they could get to know the guest, you know, we like to say treat your first guest like your best guest, you know, so the first time they stay with you, could we make it like you've known them forever? And that obviously generates more value for them. And the idea for Journey was really like last April with Brian. He kind of pushed me to like dive deeper into hotels. which is its own beast. And, you know, there are competitors who've tried to kind of aggregate independent hotels in a loyalty program. But I think the founding story was really just that, which was like, you know, what if we could treat loyalty like I feel like it's intended to be? I know we're going to dive deep for your audience into points and values and status and benefits. But at the core, like, loyalty is about a deeper relationship between two parties. And like, when you're loyal to your friends or to your family or to certain people in your life, it's generally because you've developed a relationship over time. And I think that a lot of the programs out there have kind of lost that at the core of the business. Even though it's called loyalty, it's really become more about like, how much do you spend? And I don't think any of us are loyal to our friends because of how much they spend on us or what they give us or get us. I think it really is generally deeper than that. And so that's our idea, is like, you know, of course we will have some of the core economic elements that drive behaviors and hopefully reward people so there's value. But yeah, we're trying to do more than that and actually like lean into, can we create a deeper relationship and a more emotional connection between these? That's why we say like high touch hospitality brands, but like brands that care about the guest experience and kind of the guests that are choosing to stay there.
I think that's an amazing explanation you just made, because when I think about loyalty programs, a lot of what we're talking about on our show, or what I'm breaking, I don't say breaking as news, but what I'm mentioning or referencing in our quick hits on our Friday episodes with the up-to-date kind of points and miles travel news, are devaluations where people are feeling less and less connected with the points or the loyalty programs that they're connected with. We hear oftentimes of people who feel like, yeah, I'm not really getting much with my top tier Marriott status or my top tier Wyndham status or whatever it may be. There's still some outliers out there, especially with high and other programs, but you're right, where loyalty feels like it's kind of being lost a little bit. So I think it's really cool that there's a focus on that. Now, obviously with a lot of these other hotel programs, they've got thousands upon thousands of properties in their system. And I know you're more looking at boutique locations, independent hotels, independent properties. And I had the privilege to be at your press conference, your launch. And I know there you had mentioned you already had, I think, somewhere between 1,300 or 1,400 properties lined up before launch. Can you talk a little bit about the types of properties that you're getting connected with? What are the properties that people are excited about right now?
Yeah. And listen, I think there's probably a misnomer, probably especially in the audience that we have here, of those who are loyal to kind of the big chains. The misperception is globally, there's more independently owned hotels than there are chain hotels. But now when we talk about where Journey plays, we definitely play in a subset of that. Our vision isn't to be ultra luxury, although we have some amazing properties like Nihi outside Bali, which is Chris Birch's hotel, which is kind of what led him to invest and join early on. But we also have Castle Hill Inn, who recently joined, which is a Relais and Chateau property, beautiful property in Newport, Rhode Island. And those are certainly like top of the top, you know, top resorts in the world. But we also have some amazing, you know, properties in the middle. Like in Lexington, Kentucky, we have a property called the Manchester, which is just like a great boutique resort if you're there for a bourbon tasting or just kind of a UK game or whatever it might be. And our idea of what stitches these things together is less about kind of traditional luxury, as in like white gloves and caviar and how many diamonds you have and what the price point is. But really, do we think that you have like an authentic story to tell? You know, do we believe that if we tell you more about the guest, you'll do something with it versus not? Like, that's pretty critical to us. So, you know, I think our curation standards, whether it be a private rental homes, we have Abode Luxury Rentals or ski rentals in Park City and Jackson Hole, Wyoming. We have Onera, which is like hill country, kind of beautiful, I'll call them like unique stay properties. But all of these things, I think the commonality really is that, like, you know, you're going to a location probably for a reason. Sometimes the destination is the resort in certain cases with our inventory, but our vision is the Journey will really, you know, we call it the alliance, that our alliance will grow. I think now we're just north of 1,600 properties across private rental homes and hotels. Now, the reality is that's about 1,500 private rental homes and right around, I think, 50 or 60 hotels as of this morning across the world. And we haven't activated international yet. We're basically North America, Mexico, Canada, and the Caribbean. We will pretty quickly kind of launch some of our international properties, including Nihi. And yeah, I mean, I think if you were a traveler, the idea is that we will have our curation standards, but we're not trying to be leading hotels or Relais and Chateau or anyone else. What we're trying to do is say, like, what do we think matters to travelers today? And we don't publish our curation standards on purpose so that we can kind of be purposeful on identifying, are you really a fit for Journey? And, you know, we want to keep the bar fairly high. I think the best analogy I've given recently is like the Costcos of the world. Like, I want our team to have values to live by for the long term, which is like, this is how we make decisions. This is how we decide who we let in. And it's obviously tough as a startup because you want to say yes to everybody when it comes to like generating revenue. But I think our vision is like consumers don't want that. Like, they want us to help, you know, if they pick a Journey property, my hope is, you know, 5 years from now, like that means something and they know what they're to expect. And I do think that's what the big brands do well is consistency, right? Like, by definition, that's the franchise model, I suppose. There's like a playbook, you just replicate it in a different city. The nuance in the current world, in my opinion, is I think the modern traveler wants the opposite, which is like they want a different experience. And like, that's what they're paying for, is to like create a new memory. They don't want the same experience in a different city. And so I think that's what a lot of the Journey properties give people today.
I love that explanation. And we're definitely going to unpack what the Journey experience will look like for the consumer. But before we do that, I want to ask, because I know you said you don't publish the standards and you're very selective. How would a property become part of the Journey Alliance? Like, what's in it for them? Because of what I'm thinking myself as an example, we're about to go on an incredible honeymoon in like Fiji and New Zealand and Hong Kong. And some of our stays that we have, they're not a Hyatt, they're not a Hilton, an IHG, whatever it may be. And so is there a way to say, hey, I'd love for this property to be somewhere I can get some loyalty points for my stay, for my purchase. And I'm sure there's probably a long timeline and a process, obviously. But I think there's a little bit of looking forward as well, because if you do have a community of people that are valuing this new loyalty program and this service, they may be able to be the people that are out, I say on the streets, but in the air, in the countries, that are able to make these connections for you. So what's in it for the property and how do they become part of the Journey Alliance?
So, two great ideas in there. Maybe you should lead product with me on the team here. But like, one of them is anybody can apply to join the Alliance, any property, boutique resort, private rental home. Like, just go to journey.com/alliance and they can kind of see what it is that we offer. That I want to answer the question in case you have some hoteliers or future hoteliers listening. But like, the value props to the hotels are pretty clear. One is that like, we will give you a loyalty program that we think will allow you to compete on the surface when a consumer is making a decision between you and a property that has a loyalty program, that we think will be best in class and hopefully world leading in terms of the value propositions to the consumer. So that should lead to higher conversion rates, hopefully more pricing power, et cetera. I think the second one is we do a lot of unique things, and I know we'll dive deeper in terms of like engaging that same traveler on that first stay. So we let you use the points you're going to earn on the same stay if you want to. So if you don't want to aggregate or hoard your points for, you know, the next honeymoon, you can use them for like spa credits or cocktails or surf experiences or horseback riding, whatever it might be that the property wants to create as an offer for you. And the reason they want to do that is it drives up their total revenue, right? Like, they try to keep you on property. That's value add for them, which is why we focus on people who have kind of those ancillary experiences. But in the hotel industry, it's probably like the biggest focus area for a lot of hoteliers today is driving up total revenue instead of just driving up ADR. Because there is, ADR is driven by competitive pressures, right? Like, you're only going to pay so much more than the hotel next door, depending on like for like quality. The other idea you had of like, who else could tell us like, this is a great property that should join. Like, we launched an idea, it's journey.com/nominated. But basically, if you're the first person to nominate a hotel to join Journey, we ask in a perfect world that you've stayed there, and you verify with us that you've stayed there. And if you have done that and you've proven to us that you've stayed there or you are going to stay there and you nominate that property, we'll reach out to them and tell them that you're coming. But if that property decides to join the Journey Alliance, we give you a 5-night free stay at that property or a similar property. So like, the idea is like trying to reward our travelers for nominating great properties who end up joining and not turning them into sales reps. I think instead, we just want them to tell the story, and we will let you earn points at nominated properties as well. So that feature is launching probably later in October. But the idea is our network already, if your listeners downloaded the Journey mobile app from the App Store or go to journey.com and kind of you'll be able to find it, is we show all 1600 properties that are Alliance partners. And in areas where we don't yet have a partner and we have nominations from consumers, we show the nominated properties. But those nominated properties do have to also meet our criteria. So like, not every nominated property from a consumer goes to our kind of curation team and then kind of gets added if we believe it's a good fit. And the idea is like, we don't have places in every country and every city yet. And so we kind of want to help on the discovery side. We will reward you. You won't get as much value booking a nominated property as you would an alliance partner, of course. But I think we have something for that concept at least.
Absolutely love that. So there's so much to unpack there because, I mean, you're talking about curating an experience for the individual. We've hinted a bit about it, but I want to actually go into that route and talk about the rewards program. Talk about what we as the consumers would actually experience by being a part of Journey and visiting a Journey program or a Journey Alliance property. So can you talk a little bit about how does the earning structure work for members?
So if I was in your user seats, and I've been kind of a points nerd, not like the extreme type. I'm like somewhere in the middle. Like I have a lot of the points credit cards that Brian tells me to get. And I always join the frequent flyer or the loyalty programs. I feel like, why not? It's free.
Right.
So ours is a similar vein, free to join. You know, we did exclude membership. You had to have stayed in a property to become a member early on, but we just opened up in October. We kind of just opened up membership for anybody. And if you are a loyalty program member, before you place a booking at a Journey hotel, we guarantee that you'll earn at least 5 points per dollar spent, eligible dollars, of course. So like taxes and certain fees are excluded like usual. So that's kind of the similar corollary to other programs. I think where it becomes more interesting is we also give all of our partners, think of it as like an AdWords or a Facebook ads, or, you know, because you have business owners, they're probably familiar with some of these systems where you can create campaigns to run. We built a whole infrastructure for our alliance partners to be able to run similar campaigns. So instead of having to just simply discount rates or try to create these like complicated rate codes within their property management system, we said like, why don't you create campaigns where you give people more bonus points or higher multiples on certain dates or for certain things? And our currency is very valuable. Like we'll see what the points guy comes out when they finally rate our currency, but we think we'll be, I'll just say, the most valuable loyalty currency out there for sure in the hotel space. So north of 2 cents per point. And so the idea there is like, all right, well, you're getting 5X points and let's say it's 2 cents. It will be north of that, I believe, but let's say it's 2 cents on average. So there's 10% back if you're a Journey member before you place the booking. Now there's some caveats. Journey doesn't take the booking today. We just tell you to book directly with the partner. So if you go directly to their website, you place a booking and you're a member before, we automatically, you'll see in our app, like within seconds, we'll have the reservation, we'll show it to you, we'll show you how many points you earned. But the really cool part is what you can do with those points. So of course, we will let you use points to redeem for stays anywhere within the alliance. In fact, we'll also let you use points at nominated properties if you want. Now, if you want to get closer to that 2 cents or 3 cents per point value, you would have to check more frequently into our campaigns and promotions. It is dynamic pricing. I know some people love kind of the static rate cards of the Hyatts of the world. But you have to remember, we have to create a program that works across the myriad of independently owned and operated properties. So, you know, the architecture of that basically led us to a place where it is dynamically priced. But the other part that Brian and Kelly insisted we put in our terms and conditions of the loyalty program is there's a floor guarantee. So we guarantee in our terms and conditions, basically our contract with the members, that the retail value of your redemption will never be below a penny per point. Like that is the floor. And we can't move it. Now, the goal is to like provide a platform where people can hopefully find some amazing deals at certain times. And obviously, part of what we'll talk about later, like the AI for us, and it was kind of the big data science at Red Ventures, is like, how do we tell you, instead of just putting, let's say Nihi puts a great offer, could redeem points for a night there for, you know, a retail value of 5 cents, like a point in theory, like, that may be a great offer for everybody, but it still might be like $3,000, you know, or like a lot of points, you know what I mean? And so
right,
our idea is to like mine the data we have to let people combine cash and points, but also to like send offers to people, whether it be notifications or emails or other ways that we think truly match like either where they're going, the experience they want, the price point or budget they have set, it's part of their wish list, et cetera. And that's why we call it loyalty that learns, is the idea is, you know, we're learning both about you and how to tell the property to treat you, but we're also learning like, what are you trying to do with points? Are you the hoarder looking for like a special deal? And we're not going to give you a bunch of toggles and filters and segments. We're going to really task you with like teaching us more about you so that we can train the AI to surface that for you.
Hey everyone, quick break from the episode. If you're enjoying the show, make sure you're subscribed on whatever platform you're listening on so you never miss an episode. And if you've gotten any value so far, it would mean the world if you left a quick rating or review. It helps more people discover the show and keeps us motivated to keep creating great content. Also, if you're feeling stuck or want help with points and miles, whether it's picking your first card, planning a big redemption, or even having someone book it all for you, we've got you covered. There's a link in the show notes to schedule a free points and miles consultation. Just fill out a quick questionnaire, tell us your goals, and we'll take it from there. And don't forget, our newsletter and private Facebook group are great ways to stay on top of breaking news, updated card offers, and tips that don't always make it into the podcast. You'll find those links in the show notes as well. Now, back to the episode. Now, what does teaching the AI or telling the property about you, what is the property learning and how does that benefit me as the person staying at this property? Because you talked about earlier on that when every time you walked into a new Airbnb, it felt like a brand new experience and obviously you weren't sure what you were going to get, whether they were a super host or not, but you're just kind of walking into a room calling it a day. And I have a little bit of an idea from the press conference, but I'd love for you to share kind of what should someone who they went ahead, they joined, you know, for freejourney.com, they had the loyalty, they found an amazing property that they wanted to stay at anyway, which was a cash stay. So they're not talking about using a bunch of points, which wasn't the best points play or anything like that. But what do you want their experience or how their experience to be different than just checking into the property otherwise?
Yeah, so I think first off, if they're a Journey member before they book, at the very least, we are valuing their business by rewarding them with 5x points. And my main job is to make sure they have maximum utility for what they can do with those points and hopefully maximum value. But like, I think utility matters almost more. Like, what can I do with them? But I think in terms of like how the guests will be treated differently, I'll give you a couple of examples. So let's say you joined Journey before. How do we learn about you? Well, we have this thing we call day zero status, and anybody can join that now. Everybody doesn't have to participate, but basically it's a pattern where we have status levels, like a lot of loyalty programs. Some of ours have some pretty amazing value propositions, like guaranteed suite upgrades, guaranteed name your own check-in, check-out time, way more investment from the property and what we call magical moments. Think of magical moments. If you put your hotelier hat on, basically every hotelier has a VIP list. That VIP list is very rudimentary in terms of how they decide who is a VIP or not. It's basically who's spending the most money with them in that given period of time, right? Like who booked the penthouse, whatever. Sometimes there'll be a VIP that they can identify is like in a standard room, but most hotels don't know that. And so what we said is like, listen, we will identify Journey members. And because of like the network that we're creating, we do believe that like our membership base as kind of the loyalty program will be more valuable travelers. But more importantly, instead of just focus on how much they're spending, like we will look at other things that might be valuable for you or for them on that stay. And we call it magical moments because the last thing we wanted was everybody who checks in to get like a bowl of fruit and a bottle of water or whatever like the standard, like thanks for your business gift is. And the real economics of that is like the hotel might be willing to spend $10, $20, $30, $50, $100 on you as like a welcome gift, maybe more depending on that experience. And so what we've said is, let us tell you, hotelier, like how to treat DeAndre to make him feel really special and different than how to treat John, different than how to treat Lindsay, who's traveling with her kids, et cetera. And, you know, it sounds like a small thing, but like that's the beginning is, you know, when you walk in, how do they treat you? How do they greet you? You know, we're doing other things that seem super easy, which is like, if the user wants to upload a profile pic and tell us more about like their likes and not likes, or we just learn about it behaviorally from like the properties they're staying at or historically the messages they sent to other Alliance properties, we don't share all of that. Like we might have, I don't know, millions of tokens about you as an individual, but like the operator can't do much with that. So the real secret sauce for us is to like use our AI to synthesize that down to like in this one experience that the hotelier is about to deliver in real life, right? Which is the biggest challenge from my old world to this one. But I think that's where AI has helped us a ton. Like, what is it? You know, what are the 2-3 things that they can execute on? And we give them what we call the hospitality experience platform to do that. So it could be they send you digitally a special offer that's only for you. I mean, it feels really personal. Like think of it as like the creepy ads that follow you where you're like, how did they know that I wanted, you know, dinner at 7 p.m. at the restaurant or whatever. But it also could be, you know, simple stuff like if you tell us you have kids, you can tell us their age, like we'll keep track of their age over time. And so we'll tell them like, hey, he's traveling with his two sons and they're 7 and 5. And then a year later, they're 8 and 6. Like, seems like simple stuff that they should know. And then I think the last piece of like treating them differently is really around like, I say like feeling known. And this seems cliche, but like I'll give you one real example. So people don't want to download a billion hotels in, you know, individual mobile apps, right? Like, especially in the independent sector. But probably most of your listeners have the Bonvoy app or the Hilton Honors app on their phone. And the reason is because that provides more utility than just the one stay. And so, you know, most of our partners, alliance partners, don't have mobile apps because the argument would be like consumers won't download it. Well, the downfall of that is like there's a bunch of interesting information that's super valuable for the consumer that is also valuable for the hotel. Like, they're on their way. Like, where's their location? You know, and they're arriving to the hotel in 3 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever it is. And so one product we just launched is, we call it like the Doorman app. Super simple. Like, if one of our members has their mobile app and they're sharing their location with us, and we see that they're on their way, like towards your property, or they're close, we just ping the doorman with their photo and their name. So they can say like, oh, welcome, Mr. Coke. Thanks for staying with us today. They only do that if you're a VIP and if somebody somehow radioed ahead or their driver picked you up, or like, you know, it's this like luxury experience because it's so intensive for them to execute. And we're trying to like, I'll say not commoditize, but like make that the normal versus the exception.
And that's so, that's such a unique aspect or thing to go by, because I think part of, in the points and miles world, individuals are wanting to have the luxury experience, right? They want to be able to fly and lie flat business class to go long haul across the pond. Even if they would never pay $10,000 for that flight, they still want that experience, but there's nothing wrong with. Or what it's like to be a Hyatt globalist and you get upgraded to a suite and the general manager in the Maldives walks out to greet you specifically on the incoming boat from the airport and say, hey, let me give you a tour of the property, right? Like that, those are unique experiences that people love to be able to say they've had. And it looks like that's something that you're looking to curate specifically. I do want to take a step back, though, because you mentioned the day zero status. I know that's a new program for you. You mentioned there is status levels. Can you talk a little bit more about what day zero status is?
Yeah, and we think it's a good idea. We'll see how consumers are using it. But we were really solving like two problems. One was, I felt like when people who haven't stayed in a Journey property were downloading the Journey app, like it wasn't clear to them, like, what is the value prop to me right now? Like, sure, maybe when I stay and book one, I can get 5x points. And yeah, we could just give you 1,000 points or 2,000 points. But even there, like, the utility is not clear to, like, that's nice, but I still, maybe I can get a free cocktail or I can get a Dorsey membership or something else. You know, I remember I was American Airlines, concierge key. I traveled all over the world for Red Ventures. And I don't necessarily say I'm a huge American Airlines fan, but I will say of that program, I felt like it was executed really well and I felt really valued for the business. But I ended up like being in Seattle. And so I asked like Alaska to match my status, right? Like, this has existed in the points and miles game for a long time. And so originally we were like, well, maybe we should have status match. Like, it's a brand new program. We want the best travelers in the world to want to join Journey. And some of our top status levels, we have one that's unlisted, we call Icon, kind of our concierge key. But the legend status basically now will be 15% plus discounts on every stay off the best available rates, like, which is real, you know, economic value, more suite upgrades awards, which are like guaranteed upgrades to the next level category or the suites at the hotels, and a bunch of other kind of ancillary, but Dorsia premium membership, which, you know, you'd have to pay $5,000 to get access to. And we're adding more and more to it under Brian's kind of leadership on that front, kind of telling us where he thinks the consumer's going. But you would have to spend, you know, $50,000 with us. It's like 250,000 point level to get there. And let's say you're getting 5x multiple, that's $50,000. Like, most people aren't going to do that for a long, long time. Now, we have some ski chalets that are like 100 grand a week. So it's possible somebody might do it, but very few people. And, you know, I was certainly the, you know, the 28-year-old or 30-year-old who kept my points flying coach for a long time to like finally book that first class seat, you know, to lie flat. And I got a pretty good deal if I remember right. And so I wanted people to have that experience. So the idea for day zero status is basically just that. It's not status matching, because what we realized is we actually don't want the people that are super loyal to Hilton or Marriott necessarily. Like, that's not our target traveler. Not that we wouldn't take them if they're ready to kind of find, lean into the independent world, and if they get as much value or more out of our program. And so what we said is, how could we learn more about the traveler, like to actually make their experience better? And along the way, if we believe that this is a person that will add a ton of value to the alliance, whether maybe they're super influential, you know, maybe they're, you know, in a certain role at a corporation where we feel like they could be influential about business travel. Maybe, you know, we just learned that like they travel a lot and we think we could steer them to weeknight bookings, which are really valuable for a lot of our kind of more leisure destination places. And then the question is like, how do you learn that? Like, I don't think people want to take this long ass quiz to like teach us about them. But we wanted to gamify it a little bit, but we're more of like a luxury orientation. And what I said is like, my time is money. So let's just make it so if you connect certain information to us, you don't have to, of course, but if you want to connect your calendar, like we'll look at your calendar and we'll see like, okay, what can we learn about DeAndre? Maybe we see his flights, maybe we see his hotel bookings. By definition, it's not super privacy, you know, conscious, although I think we have a pretty solid data security team on that front. But like, and again, it's optional. And we'll tell you like, hey, this is what we learned about you from your calendar. And by the way, if you're willing to keep it connected, you don't need to tell us you need early check-in. Like if you book a hotel, we'll just tell them like, hey, his flight arrives at this time, or we'll make you a dinner reservation because we see that you have a gap at a certain time on your calendar. So that's kind of like the loyalty that learns about you. We have some other pretty cool things where we are going to let you link, I'll just say, some of your hotel or travel portal programs. You can link your account to us one time. We'll kind of pull in all your historical bookings, like what's that place you like to stay? What cities do you go to? How much do you spend? You know, those types of things. And then I think for the most extreme travelers who want to do it, like you can connect your credit cards. This looks like everyone else, like connect your account via Plaid. You can connect your email and we'll mine through every travel email that you've ever received, which might be messages you sent to your Airbnb host or messages you sent to the concierge. And, you know, I think as you go deeper and deeper down that funnel, the idea is that like, the more we learn about you, it's not guaranteed that you connect all these things, you get this status, but it's more like, if we think that you are that high value traveler already, why not just give you the status now versus make you kind of hope that you spend 50 grand with us? So that's day zero status. I think it'll be a fun way for people to, you know, A, learn about their travel behavior, you know, think of it as like I don't know who the Credit Karmas of the world are today, where you like learn more about yourself and your financial. You're probably the expert in that world more than I am, but like these places where they shine a light on something you didn't realize, but we're going to try to do it in like a fun way around travel and a light way. We're not trying to like, you know, be in perpetuity your SaaS provider for your travel information. It's kind of like a one time that's kind of onboard you in a way where we can learn something about you and then reward you for kind of leaning in with us.
I assume, and I know maybe that you guys haven't perfected the program yet fully, but I would assume if someone came in, they did the day zero status thing to whatever extent, and you gave them maybe not the highest level or the icon or the one before that, but let's just say a higher tier within your system. I assume there's an expectation or a need to kind of requalify for that each year. Or is that like, hey, we come in, we know you're a traveler, like you've got this for, I don't know, a couple of years or for life or whatever it may be. Like, any thoughts on kind of the direction we're going with that? I know it's, again, a newer thing that you guys have just launched, but curious.
I mean, a problem just from a financial standpoint that we run into in any probably net new loyalty program is that we just like don't have the data to make decisions on stuff like this in perpetuity. And so what we've said is our loyalty program, maybe like a lot, like from the day you earn the status, you'll have it for that entire year and one more calendar year. So like that will certainly be the case. So, you know, if you joined this coming February, you'd get it all of 26 and all of 27. And I think it's fairly generous, but we don't know, like maybe, like I don't love the spin to qualify. And so we're trying to think through other ways though, where, you know, it's probably not obvious to the outside world, but we envision that like Journey as a loyalty program certainly could have restaurants in the city you live in, you know, might have fashion boutiques that are also independent hospitality brands in the cities you live in. So there may be ways for you to continue to earn at a really high multiples. So I don't mean earn as in like your credit card gets you 3 or 5x, although we might also have our own credit card that gets you more like 10 or 15x. But I mean like, you know, really earn on top of your credit card rewards additional, you know, value because you're choosing to lean into the Journey Alliance. But those type of partners, let's take a fashion boutique, they have to fit the same criteria, which is like, are you going to treat DeAndre differently because I tell you that he's coming to your boutique? And, you know, like how would you do that? And, but I think there's a lot of businesses out there. I can think of a bunch that, you know, if I told them more about a certain consumer and I brought them a high value consumer, like they'd be happy to reward me and let me reward them for doing that, like for their business. Like it's not a brand new concept, right? Like that is the economic trade that we're making is we're saying for the consumers, let us give you something of value. We're saying like, okay, if you join us consumers, we will help this kind of broad portfolio of businesses reward you for that business. And, you know, there's some of the biggest new businesses in the world. Like if your consumers, have you looked at Fetch or Ibotta or some of these kind of think of them as like base rewarding for grocery behavior, for, you know, other kind of regular spend, are some of the fastest growing businesses. And, you know, I think that just tells you that, you know, consumers, they want to feel valued. They want to kind of go, the people who listen to this podcast the same, like, of course, why wouldn't you take, if you're going to take your business to somebody, you want to feel like it's the right economic decision and that you're valued for doing that. And I think that's kind of the idea behind our economic trade-offs.
Now, John, I know you mentioned that the person that is super loyal to Hilton or Hyatt or whatever it may be isn't your target individual. Obviously, like as you said, you'll take them on board. But if I think through not the business traveler, but the points and miles community, because I want to ask a couple questions kind of specific to that group. If someone is a Hyatt Globalist or IHG Platinum, or they've got the Hilton Aspire card, so they're automatically top tier Hilton Diamond status, why should they care about Journey? Why should they be interested? You said a lot of great things, but I want to kind of go hyper-focused into this subsegment of travelers, because there's a different mindset with the points and miles traveler and the person who's just flying all over the world business class because of their job, which for the record, I can't skip over the fact that you're a concierge queue with American Airlines. And that's like a hope that someday I get the phone call from them to say, hey, look, you're concierge queue now. And, you know, you talk about us so much and promote American Airlines that we'll make you concierge queue, which I actually don't. But that's like a faint goal that would love to happen one day. But so I can't glaze over that fact that you mentioned you were concierge queue for years. But yeah, why would the points and miles community, why should they care about Journey when, you know, they've been built and conditioned to be loyal to Hyatt and to Hilton and to IHG?
Yeah, but I think the question, you know, at the simplest from an economic standpoint, I'm very confident that, like, I know the value of a Hilton point on average is called 0.5 cent or maybe 0.6 cents, something like that.
If that.
Yeah, from a pure economic standpoint, I think we're at the very least competitive. So if that's how they're making a decision is like, well, yeah, but I'm getting these multiples because of the status, I think still we will outperform on that front. If not, like we're certainly, that's where we're taking the requirements for our partners. But I think the other one is probably more around like just experiencing like something different. You know, like I think Hilton does a great job for like the product they're creating. And by the way, I'm not saying we don't want business travelers. I just think to date, we haven't yet filled in the areas where they probably have a need. Because like we're certainly not airport hotels, you know, because they don't meet the criteria of like, not everyone. I think like the, gosh, what's the new one at JFK Airport? It's like mid-century modern.
The TWA.
Yeah, like that one's pretty dope. Like that would maybe fit as like a airline experiential. I don't know enough about like their standards of guest experience. But I think that's why I say like, not that we don't want them. I just don't know that we have the right product yet for the business travelers. And we certainly haven't gone down the angle of, you know, engine.com or Navan or these folks around like helping the corporations on their business travel. So we really are for the entrepreneurs, for the founders, for the small business owners, where they have discretion on where they stay and where they spend. And I think for them, we can deliver them a better product. I would put almost all of our hotels in any city we're in up against any Hilton or Marriott or Hyatt property globally. I think on the private rental home side, like if you want to stay in a home or you want to stay, you know, 4 or 6 people and a single property, I think we're maybe the only game in town. You could certainly book through Marriott Homes and Villas, but like for sure we're going to like be more rewarding. And I think our criteria actually mean that like you can have confidence you're going to get a good property. Whereas to be part of Homes and Villas, you just have to be a property manager that has 10 properties, like which I don't know is like a great criteria for being included. But yeah, I think like those are probably the two big reasons. Like in terms of day zero status, I think we're also trying to make sure that, like, I know how hard it is to make the change. Like for me, from American Airlines to another airline, partly because I'm in Charlotte a lot, like is a very difficult shift. But I think from a Hilton or Marriott, it probably does come down to like why they wouldn't make the leap today is because we only have 1600 properties. It's not nothing, but I think we probably, our aspirations are much bigger, like to make sure that we do aggregate enough properties around the world so that that person can make that decision and feel like they're not gonna, like they could give us 80, 90% of their business and stay at Journey Properties and really love that decision and eat at Journey restaurants and, you know, shop at Journey shops. But like, that's the vision. That's not the today, just in reality. And I think give us 2-3 years, hopefully, I think we can, similar like what Built Rewards did for apartments. I think there are a lot of consumers now who pick an apartment complex because they're part of Built. And I think we want people to kind of pick a hotel because they're part of Journey.
Now, John, I've got to ask a question that I know will have been on a listener's mind this entire episode, especially in the Points and Miles world. And that circles around two words, transferable points, right? If you've talked to your friends with Brian Kelly, you know, we talk about the points game and we talk about points transfers from Amex and from Hyatt and Capital One and Citi and all of these. Well, actually, I think except for Capital One, all of these cards have the ability to transfer into Hilton, into IHG, into Hyatt. And that's a huge value for those in the Points and Miles community. I'd love to hear your thoughts on, is there any integration plans for goals of the transferable points with Journey? So being able to transfer into Chase or whatever it may be into Journey. But before we get there, I do want to preface with the fact that I think, or not think, my philosophy around points and miles is that it should be able to elevate your overall travels. It should revolutionize the way that you travel, thus the name Revolutionizing Your Journey for the podcast. And ultimately, if you can dramatically reduce your cost of travel because you flew your airfare in points in business class, you had an amazing experience, maybe then that's your opportunity to pay cash for a boutique, a unique stay in another place. And that's part of the reason why one of the places we're staying in Fiji, one of the top, I think the top all-inclusive adults-only resort in Fiji, not tied to any point system at all or major hotel chain, so may have to nominate them for Journey, by the way. We'll let you know how this day is. But I think points can elevate your overall travels and doesn't have to be the be-all for travels. But still, with all that being said, I'm curious, where does the transferable currencies come into play?
Yeah, I mean, it's a Catch-22 as a startup, for sure. Luckily, we have Brian, and I have pretty good relationships with a lot of the card companies from my time at RevVentures. I can't drop any like bombshell news yet, but I will say we certainly will have airline transfer partners, both in and out. So that is almost done, and Brian has personally curated which airline partners we have. And so you can imagine he has done the ones where he thinks there is added value for consumers on those points. I won't say who they are here, but we will announce them soon. We already have the ability where you can transfer points amongst your friends, which is pretty unique, almost Venmo style, no charge, transfer points to anybody who has a member or has a membership or wants to join for free. You can pool your points together with your friends if you want to pool points towards a stay, which is not necessarily absolutely unique, but another kind of cool feature. I think transferability from a credit card to us, certainly high on the list of things we want to accomplish. Probably similar to Hilton Marriott, like they have a ton of scale. They have their own credit card program, which is arguably competitive with some of these places that do have transfer points. But I think all the credit card companies are trying to lean in and add more utility to their customers to justify like the card product that they have. So whether that's Chase with Edit or Fine Hotels or, you know, Citi's program that they're doing with Hopper. And so I think we have a unique position, is all I'll say, to both make our inventory available uniquely. And I think we have some pretty unique inventory that is not on a lot of travel portals and not on a lot of OTAs. And so we're working on those partnerships now, both to make it bookable, where you can get, you know, all the benefits that you get from booking through a Chase portal or Citi portal or Amex portal. But then transferability is kind of second on the list. I think step one is get distribution for our alliance partners. Step two is kind of add more of this utility that, you know, I hate to say it's a niche, but it is like less utilized according to the data we have than a lot of like the core features. But I would love it. Like, I'd love if I could move my Amex points to my Journey account. Like, I mean, selfishly, because I control the balance sheet on that one. But yeah, I mean, I think it's on our list. So transfer airline partners are there. Mesa Mortgage, who I know was on your podcast, you can transfer your Mesa points already to Journey. So like, I think that will be live in their product in the next 2 weeks. So before this podcast airs, which is cool. So like, if you have 1 million Mesa points and, you know, you want 1 million Journey points, like it's transferable. which is, I think, pretty high value. So, you know, with those points, you could book an all-inclusive stay at Nihi probably if you had $1 million mortgage or whatever they reward you with. But yeah, so I know it's a long-winded answer. I would say in the works, certainly I'll say airline transfers in from airlines and other partners first, transfers out coming later, and credit card partners. You can imagine if you've seen some of ours, like we want to create our own card. We don't aspire to like take on the CSR or the Platinum card, but we think we could be a good number two in your wallet because there isn't a great lodging card that really just focuses on that and it rewards consumers in a material way. So I'll say like we're in discussions with a bunch of different card companies of who we would choose to go with, and that will kind of probably steer that decision.
Very cool, John. This has been a phenomenal, phenomenal conversation, and love the direction that you're going with everything and some of the innovation that's backing everything. As we start to wrap up here, my question for you is kind of what excites you for the future with Journey? And that could be whether it's a goal of a number of properties under your belt, stays, the membership under your belt, kind of what do you, when you kind of cast a net 5 years into the future with the hard work you've put into this point and what you're wanting to accomplish and some of the things you just mentioned, like the transfer partners and transferability and all these different things, possibly a credit card in the future, what excites you for the future? What are you looking forward to most?
Man, I think I have somehow architected like my dream job. I get to build really cool technology. I don't have to deal with the real world challenges of being like a hotelier and that part, but I get to partner with some of the best ones in the world. And they're all mostly entrepreneurs, like the investors and owners of these properties. So I really just love what I do every day. So that's an easy one for me. Like personally, I look forward to getting to know more great entrepreneurs and alliance partners and hopefully, you know, I don't know, creating the place that I think should exist in the world where like I feel valued, I feel rewarded, both economically, both, you know, treated well. And I really hope 2-3 years from now that we have dots on the map across the globe where if you're taking your wife to Fiji, like, you know, the Journey one is the best one to pick, both because of the economic trade-off, because you're a smart guy on how you spend your money, but also because like we already know so much about you and you know that it's going to be like even more amazing than it would be just showing up. And by the way, like I'm sure every high-end five-star resort has very high touch, very good guest relations, but they can only do so much until they get to know you. You know what I mean? And so like, that's my dream is like to let everybody show up to a property and feel special and feel known. And like those little things, it seems trivial probably over the air, but like, if you really think back, it's often like those little special moments that make it more magical and more memorable. And if my job or our job as a team is to like, make people feel that way, like more and more often, then I think that would be successful. And hopefully that probably comes with scale. I don't have a number in mind because every time I say a number, I'm wrong, either to the low or the high. But yeah, like I want us to have more dots on the map.
I like what you said there about how it may seem trivial, but that's what actually matters. Because when I think to my conversations with other people in the travel space, especially the points and miles space, a lot of what I hear, you know, outside of the Emirates, you know, taking a shower on a plane and popping dominoes, different things, a lot of what I hear is, oh, we stayed here and they did this for my kids, right? It's experience, it's notes like that, that I think goes right to your point about if they know you and you know that you can expect a good amount of value for you, the loyalty that you're bringing, you can have what is today kind of an unprecedented experience. I think that speaks volumes to what the future could look like for this new loyalty program.
Well, I hope you're right.
So, John, a couple last questions here. I'm actually curious, with all the travels that you've done while you were traveling for business, while you've been building Journey, out of curiosity, what's been your favorite travel redemption or loyalty experience so far that comes to mind for you? I know that you're not as in the weeds with the points. I know you said you're kind of on a middle level, so it doesn't have to be anything game-changing or mind-blowing, but I'm just curious, what's been one of your best trips, places you've been, favorite travel redemptions?
I mean, I'm probably going to get in trouble for it. I'll say, like, I do a little bit of travel hacking. So my fiance was living in Brazil in like a hard to get to city called João Pessoa. She plays professional beach volleyball. And it was so expensive to like fly American Airlines that I ended up like booking everything on Qantas points, which of course I don't have a lot of Qantas points. And so, but I could transfer, I can't remember exactly, maybe my city points to Qantas. And I was booking like flights to Brazil for 20,000 Qantas points or something. It was like $200 versus like $2,000. And even like an American, it would be on American, but an American flight was like 100,000 points. So that felt pretty good, only because I did it like 10 times because I was flying back and forth to see my kids and travel down there. And like, we all like to find that deal. And Brian Kelly, of course, pointed me to it. And I think Point.me and some of these apps are actually super helpful. I'm sure your audience is already aware of them. And I think we're going to try to do something where, you know, certain Journey members can get, you know, better deals or free memberships to Point.me and things like that for like the really eclectic ones who put in Brian Kelly's promo code or something. But that one felt good economically. I would say, geez, I don't know about loyalty, but I don't use a travel agent usually, but I was traveling to Greece and I needed some help. And so I didn't know where to stay. I was in Santorini and I stayed at this place called Cannabis Epitome, which was like on the north side of the island. And it's kind of what you said. I was traveling with three kids and like, it's kind of hectic as your listeners who have children traveling internationally with like all the luggage and we have like a crib for the kid and all this other stuff. And we showed up and literally like, they're like, hey, by the way, we knew you had the kids. Here's our babysitter. She's here for you guys, just for you, whatever you need. Like, didn't ask me to pay for it. Didn't ask me to book it. And it's like, she'll take them right now to the pool. You guys sit here in the lounge and have a cocktail. And we were literally only there for one night. Maybe I booked a nice enough room, but it wasn't like I spent thousands of dollars. And I think like that was pretty special. And I don't know if it was because the travel agent told them or how they like, obviously I listed the kids because in Europe, as you also know, like they have every passport for every person in your party and all the other kind of weird requirements or like strict requirements. But yeah, like that was pretty special. That resort's amazing too. If your listeners are going to Santorini, like it's a pretty special place. But yeah, those are probably the two that come to mind.
I love that. Got to share a quick story. I know we have to wrap up, but you said beach volleyball and I am, that's actually one of my favorite sports is beach volleyball. And so being here in Virginia Beach, love playing on the beach, play like almost every single weekend. So I've been playing it for years and never at a super competitive level, but play at a high level of play, I should say. During COVID, went down to Brazil, went to Rio myself, and I'm staying at the Hilton, high up floor. I see all the volleyball nets from like in Copacabana. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to go down there and play. Like, I mean, volleyball, like it's volleyball. I've never experienced the level of volleyball like they play in Brazil ever in my life. And it was to the point I feel like they were like, yeah, we're going to leave the American to go keep playing by ourselves. It was the most intense competitive and probably hardest volleyball game I've ever played and played so bad with the level of skill I was playing against. And it was just like people playing pickup. Like it was just a random Tuesday for them, wildest and most intense volleyball story I've ever had.
Yeah. I mean, listen, my coach, so I hired a professional coach when I was playing and he was Brazilian, still kind of one of my best friends today. And he played professional beach volleyball in Brazil. And when I went down there, like there, yeah, to your point, there's like an 18-year-old who's my partner, who's like as good as some of the top pros I play with in the US. And it's just amazing. It's just like part of their culture to like be on the beach and be playing volleyball. And I mean, they certainly are fairly dominant, especially on the women's game these days. But yeah, well, next time we get together, if I'm in Virginia Beach, we'll have to play a match or go out to the sand.
That sounds great. Well, John, where can the listeners go if they want to connect with you or learn more about Journey?
Yeah, well, the good news is, you didn't mention this live, but journey.com is the domain. So hopefully easy enough to remember. Our app is still hard to find on the App Store, but on the website's easy enough. But yeah, just journey.com. We kind of talk about both the alliance, the member benefits. You can go as deep as you want. You can even search kind of through our AI search on the website, although easier right now in the mobile app to kind of view all the properties. Yeah, I encourage the listeners to do it. And if they have any questions, they can also email kind of our team or me, just CEO@journey.com. And like, I'm always open to ideas or feedback from anybody.
Sounds great, John. Last two questions for you. You were a connection of Kelly Halpin, the CEO of Mesa. So I had a great conversation with him. This has been a fantastic conversation with you. I'm curious, who next should we have on our show that you think would be of value to our listeners in this space of travel, points and miles, or whatever it may be that you think would be super valuable to have?
Ooh, travel, points and miles. Maybe somebody from like a tech company would be interesting to you. There's a couple of big brands like Ascenda. Most people, your clients probably, or your travelers and listeners probably don't know Ascenda, A-S-E-N-D-A, but they actually power a lot of the points and mile transfer programs around the world, like for the big airlines. That would be an interesting one for you, only because it's just different. I'm trying to think of something, you know, special or I don't know if you've had someone on from Built Rewards, but for your listeners who are kind of renters or, you know, in that space, I think Ankur and his team, you know, are certainly like creating a valuable currency, in my opinion, and a valuable network of ways to earn and use points that, you know, from a neighborhood standpoint, wasn't possible for a long time. And, you know, that's, I think Brian and I both feel the same. Like if we can, you know, let you earn points, whether it be our points or Built points at more and more places that you're going anyway, you know, as points people ourselves, I think that would be with a world we would prefer to live in. Let's put it that way. So
that sounds great, John. I appreciate that. And we'll look to expand our listenership to a couple of those areas. Any final thoughts before we wrap this one up, John?
No, DeAndre, I appreciate all the time and taking time at night. So excited to kind of keep listening and hear more of the cool stories you bring on.
Absolutely. Well, John, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. I think what Journey's doing, I really love the concept of it. I think the fact that you're trying to connect with really what it means to be loyal and to provide a service to those who are loyal to the program or to the brand, and then the connection with the alliance partners, as you said, I think is really unique. And the fact that, I mean, you're backed by someone who is literal the points guy that, you know, gets value from understanding transferable currencies and these different things, meaning that you can really be a connection to not just travelers in general, but also the Points and Miles community is huge. So thanks so much for being on the show today.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks, DeAndre.
Absolutely. For the listeners out there, if you enjoyed this episode, make sure to like, subscribe, tell a friend, share, reach out, go ahead and get the Journey app as well. We'll have links to all of it in our show notes. And don't forget to sign up for our newsletter, do all the things, our WhatsApp group, our Facebook group, you know the drill. And with that, we will catch you in the next episode. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Travel doesn't just happen when you get on a plane. I'm Pauline Frommer, and on the Frommer's Travel Show, we explore not just where to go, but how to bring travel into your everyday life through books, shows, and stories that shift your perspective, plus insights on smart destinations, timely trends, and interviews with the people shaping the way we explore. Find us at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or voyescape.com.